welcome to episode 6 of the Cast Iron Podcast, recorded on Thursday the 5th of January 2012. I'm Craig, and I'm joined, as usual, by Aidan, Carl and Nick. Hey guys, hope you had a good festive period.
Thank you very much for life, lovely.
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
And here's a chance, it could be Scunthorpe United are ahead, and the goal comes from Matt Sparrow, their longest serving player.
So since the last episode, we've had 4 games. We've had away 0-0 draw at Exeter City, a home loss on Boxing Day to Bury 3-1, home draw 2-2 to Chesterfield, and then this week, Monday the 2nd, we had a 2-1 win away at Hartlepool. So a disappointing end to the year, but an unbeaten start to 2012.
Hooray.
Let's not get too carried away too soon.
No, it is only 2 games.
But it's a good thing, though.
Yeah, and you know, we've scored 2 in the last 2 games now.
Which is definitely positive.
One of them was a bit of a lucky game near the end, though, to be fair, wasn't it? Last minute wonder goal.
Yeah, but did we not deserve what we got? It's
Oh, definitely. But you should never have to do that. I don't think it was just that one mistake from Johnson, weren't it? So he bailed him out a little bit, and then he lost his shirt because of it, didn't he? So
yes, it was looking a bit the two-two draw. Yeah, it was looking a bit sort of hairy, wasn't it? It was that last minute equaliser.
Deserved it though, because he's done well since he's come back. Since he's come back from injury, right? And
yes, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Massive
boost. There was a few people wasted a few chances in that game as well. So
it sounded to me like yet another good first half, awful second half.
That's what it sounded like to me.
To be fair, they played all right in the first half. They were a little bit lucky because the keeper played pretty well.
Who's Chesterfield's keeper?
Yeah, Chesterfield's right. Keeper pretty well, and he seems to be quite a good keeper, to be fair. But second half, they seem to fall asleep again straight after half time, and there's a bit of one mistake for the first goal. Andy Wright gave the ball away a bit too easy for the first goal, I think it was. Somebody gave the ball away a bit too easy for the first goal, and the second goal, like, that happens once in a blue moon, doesn't it? Keeper makes a bit of a faux pas.
Yeah, it was his clearance, wasn't it? Went straight to one of their players.
Westcar, I think, and he just sort of tipped it back past him, like lobbed it over his head. So you can't really account for that, to be fair.
It was a good finish by Westcar, wasn't it? I thought
it was. Yeah. Most players have probably spooned it like over the stand, wouldn't they? But
yeah, that's it. You do see quite often when keepers sort of fluff it straight to an opposing player. Quite often they kind of a bit flustered and rush it and end up fluffing the shot, don't they? So you got to keep it calm, which he did. Disappointingly.
Yeah, it wasn't great from Sam Johnson, though, was it? It's not what you want to see.
From what I could gather on Twitter, it sounded like he did make quite a few decent saves as well. So it wasn't like he had an entirely horrific game. It was just one or two really bad moments ended up costing us.
Before Ryan scored, he made one really good save, to be fair, and it could easily have been 3-1 and that, but to be fair, in the first half he handled it outside the box as well, and it was a bit like what's happening. Like he made a few, like, and there was a few times when I think it was Duffy kept heading the ball out from underneath the bar rather than him coming to get it sort of on the 6-yard line, which
maybe that doesn't instill confidence, I guess, does it?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, defenders are taking it out of the keeper's hands a lot.
Yeah, he didn't was confident coming for the ball a little bit.
With Johnson, it's difficult to forget that. It's hard to remember that he is only 18.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
He's remarkably young to be playing League One football. However good you are. Like Joe Hart, people like that, they only started when they were like 17, 18 at league, like lower leagues. And you've got to think that he's going to be a good goalkeeper in the future.
Oh, absolutely. And that, I mean, that's why he's come to us, isn't it? It's to get experience and make those mistakes and learn from.
Yeah. It's just difficult. We're not doing very well, and he's obviously... you know what I mean? If he makes mistakes, we're going to suffer for that. But
there's pressure on because of the way we're playing overall as a team, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, we can't afford mistakes, can we? That's the thing.
To be fair, the two centre halves in front of him, though, were only
same sort of age.
Canavan's only, is he 20 or something like that? So
he's not much more than that, can he?
Yeah, no. They're back three, aren't they? So, but they're doing pretty well. So
I don't know, right? Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, yeah, it's a shame Duffy's gone back, isn't it? But I think we've gone to that later.
Yeah. So out of all those results, really, the one that sort of stands out negatively, obviously, in a big way, would be the Bury game on Boxing Day. That didn't sound like an entirely good performance at all. It didn't sound.
Well, if we left at half time and walked out the stadium, I really enjoyed that. Scunny played some nice football, looked a good team, scored a good goal, could have more goals. I'd have been quite happy. The second 45 minutes, let's not talk about
it. I think the second half, they were just more fired up than we were at the second half. They'd obviously, it got to them a little bit in the first half, and second half, it was like, they'd obviously been told, and I think their manager said it afterwards, he told them, like, forget about who it is, it's just another game, like.
But I think the early goal killed us. Like, you know, the confidence we had, it just sapped out the team again. The early goal just meant, oh, we're back to where we were. We can't hang on for this lead. And then it just changed. I think the whole format, the formation, everything just fell apart. And, oh, it was shocking. We were absolutely awful.
We've done that a few times. And you've been all right. You're thinking, oh, we're doing all right first half. And then within 2 or 3 minutes, I think it's 3 or 4 times it's happened like that. After 2 or 3 minutes of the second half, they've equalised the team, and then you're thinking, shit, when's the next goal going to go in?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause it, but you can know it's coming as well. Like, I'm sure it's 2 games, like, against Bury, it was just like, you know what's going to happen. As soon as they got back to 1-1, you're like, oh, God, we need to score. They're going to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't
hang
on.
It's a confidence thing, isn't it, at the moment? I think it's happened a few too many times where we've, heads have gone down, and it's then become very obvious, oh, it's only going one way.
Probably because we lack a leader. I've always said this. I think because we don't have anyone to boost the troops up and give them a lift. And we seem to lack that. I know Burn will be back soon. That'll be good and give him that. But I don't think Togwell's a leader, is he, on the pitch? So
no, I think
he's not vocal enough for me.
No. That's it. He's
filling a gap in here.
Yeah, performance-wise, he puts it in. But I think it's, like you say, vocal sort of organisation and...
And giving them boost, like sort of thing you need. When you're a struggling team, you need someone to come on that pitch. I don't think they've got managers either. He does not instill confidence. He doesn't make the right subs, and he doesn't give him a motivation. He doesn't look like he gives motivation to the players. Like,
I think...
You need someone who's going to boost, like give him that thing. Come on, lads, keep going.
I think to be fair to him, though, a lot of that comes from Brasso.
Yeah.
Because when Ryan scored that equaliser, that was who they went to, and that was who got piled on. It was Brass. Yeah. And Neil just sort of stood there and... took a step back a little bit. Like, I don't know if Neil's more like the I pick the team and
the
then leaves, you know what I mean, leaves it. Yeah, he's the man that
I understand that.
Does that sort of thing. And I think that's why he sort of brought them with him. He brought Cutler and he brought Brass with him. They're a team, aren't they, to be fair? They're maybe like three people that do the job of one person, if that makes sense. Like, between them, they've all got their thing to do, and possibly Neil is the man that picks a team and does the training and everything, and then Brass is the one that does the hand clapping and all that sort of, do you know what I mean? Because he seems to always be the one that's there on the touchline. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right about that. I do agree with Brass. He seems like the guy who could do that. I think we've just lacked it. Like, just too many times this season, you've just not seen the heads drop and they just don't get back up again, and you know what's going to happen, and the play falls apart, and we don't seem to have anything that we can change it. But I think the important thing about the last win, which we'll talk about in a minute probably, was that we managed to hang on. You know, we conceded late on and we thought, oh no, not again. And then we actually managed to hang on, which was the most important result of the season, to be fair.
I think the thing that did that, though, was the getting the second goal before they equalised. I think if we'd have...
Yes.
If they'd have equalised...
Yeah, if it had gone 1-1.
Yeah,
rather than 2-0 up and then them getting the goal. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it helped with the Hartlepool game. It helped that they had no confidence either. They've got probably the worst record.
Yeah, they have
at home.
Nine in a row that they've lost at home.
Yeah.
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 That's an awful record.
We're
not exactly brilliant though. But that, I mean, that is. So yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, obviously coming off the back of that 3-1 loss to then Chesterfield at home 2-2, and then, like you say, Hartlepool away to hang on away from home and get that 2-1 win. And it sounded like two good goals as well.
Yeah, look, watching the highlights, they look like really good goals, especially the Thompson one.
The first one, though, I thought was a good team goal. There was a lot of movement and passing.
Yeah.
And I think Togwell started it, gave it to Thompson. Thompson gave it to Robertson, I think it was, and he squared it. Yeah. So Togwell was more or less
tapping it in. Robertson's movement for that goal was excellent. He pulls off the defender really well.
Yeah.
Whiting crosses it in.
He did that quite a bit in that Chesterfield game as well. Though he looks like he's getting where he wants to be. He's not going to score. I think that's the disappointment. He's not going to score 25 goals or something like that. But he's going to create a lot of chances.
He's the sort of player we've been missing all season, isn't he?
Yeah.
I do agree about that.
He's
I think
one of them players that'll get amongst the centre backs, sort of rough them up a little bit.
Yeah.
He did that in that Chesterfield game as well. There was one. Yeah. I think it was really early on in the game, and he sort of brushed the centre half off the ball, who had the ball, and put a good shot in, and he was unlucky really. The keeper was equal to it, but he's sort of not scared to put himself in. No. He did it in the Bury game as well.
Yeah, he did Bury game, that goalkeeper and stuff.
He nearly ripped the keeper's shirt off his back, didn't he? Because he just sort of was in on him.
He's the sort of player we've needed desperately. He's the sort of player we've needed to give us that like height up front, someone to aim for, someone to get the ball down, create space for other strikers. I think he's going to be a valuable asset as long as he stays fit.
Yeah, definitely. And then all you need players around him that are going to finish those moves off. And
I think they will. People like that can get more space, aren't they?
Yeah. If you look at the good results, though, it's been with Ryan and Robertson have come back into the team, haven't they?
Yeah. It does sound like, particularly Ryan, sounds like he's... Yeah.
He's a driving force, I think.
Yeah. It's not a coincidence, is it, that they've come back in and they've started playing better? No.
Even in the first half against Bury, Ryan was simply brilliant. His movement, and he just dictated play in that midfield, and Bury didn't get a look in.
Honestly,
if he could play like that, he really is a good player.
See, this is what pleases me, is for all the grief and obviously poor results and everything that we've had, you look at the signings that we've made since Nils come in, with the exception possibly of the loan signing of... they've all been, when we've had them fit, they've all been really good.
Been the best players, haven't they?
Yeah. Obviously, you've got Ryan since he's come back, and Robertson's starting to look like he's exactly, like we've just been saying, exactly what we need up front.
Robertson's always been one of our better players.
Yeah.
It would be nice
Mossy,
to see
when he's fit, looked decent as well, looked quality player.
I think if the kid from Man United doesn't stay.
Sounds like
if
he's
he
off,
doesn't
it?
Stay, yeah. It sounds like there's a few Championship clubs interested in him.
I think. Yeah.
If he doesn't stay, and you can have a sort of a midfield, maybe three of Ryan, Mazika, and O'Connor, I think that's probably one of the best midfields in that league. If the three of them, it's a very strong
midfield. Isn't
will O'Connor still be there at the end of January though?
I don't know. It's one of them situations, I think. If somebody comes in for him, I think they'd be stupid if they turned it down. But
they're not just gonna
let him go if Norwood goes back.
Yeah.
And Mazika's out for another 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. They'd be stupid to let him go. I'd much rather have him there than lose him. But
you'd rather lose him in the summer than sell him now, or would you just?
Yeah, because whatever we get now, he's not gonna be. I don't think we're gonna get a lot for him now, are we? I'd rather not be left short. Does that make sense? I'd rather not lose him and then not have anybody to replace him.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think if you can sell him for a few hundred thousand and then find someone else a bit younger and maybe a bit more talented, you never know. And then like someone like probably a League Two player, Nils standard, and then it's okay. But I know you mean you don't want to leave yourself without.
If we get a decent offer and we get rid, we've got to bring someone in, don't we, to replace.
I think they've shown that they're going to do that though with Dagnall going and this Jennings coming in straight away.
You're not repeating the Wolford situation.
You're not waiting until the last minute like we did, and then Nelson came in right at the deadline and stuff like that. And you're sort of cutting your nose off to spite your face.
There needs to be a planning force.
Yeah, that's
more encouraging.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised, to be fair, that we've got Jennings as easily. I thought there'd be a lot of
He turned down a Championship team, didn't he?
That's his choice. He's obviously been impressed with Nil or with the club or whatever.
I imagine it because they said to him, oh, by the way, you'll start next time you play.
Yeah.
He'll go to Blue Square North to play in. He'll be first team.
Yeah, of course he will. He's not going to come here and sit on the bench, I don't think, is he?
No, because we ain't got a choice, have we, really? Either him or Bobby Grant.
So coming up then, in the next 2 weeks, we've only got the one game, which would be Colchester away. On Saturday the 14th, so we've got a bit of a break because of the FA Cup. Colchester away, mid-table at the moment, they're 12th.
Well, it's another winnable game. It really is. They're not great at home, and I think we can win that one. If we can play like we did against Hartlepool, with Jennings in the side, hat-trick from Jennings. And then
Stiles, we'll, you mean to go on?
Yeah, we'll continue our unbeaten season, won't we, Gal?
We will. Unbeaten year.
Sounds
amazing. Yeah, sorry. Maybe not, but I think it's definitely we can take. I'd be happy with a point, but I do think 3 points is up for grabs there.
You can go there and be confident, I think, now after that win. That sort of the monkey off the back a bit at Hartlepool.
Yeah, that's it. After the Chesterfield draw and then the away win at Hartlepool, I think that's off the back of those two results. Like that, you say
that
the
Jimmy Ryan goals proved very important.
Yeah, the last minute goal.
Yes, that last minute goal at Chesterfield. Yeah.
It would have been a disastrous result, and now it's like 4 points. It wasn't actually that bad.
Mm. Yeah,
not that good, but it's okay.
To be honest,
it's something to build on.
After that Chesterfield game, a few people saying in the press room afterwards, sort of, was that the Mark Robbins moment sort of kept him happy, sort of with as it did with Fergie a few years ago. It's kept him in a job, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because that was another game where it looked like shit. We've thrown it away.
Yeah.
I do think that was
that could be the turning point. I think.
Yeah, I think we had a few times like that last season as well, but it never materialised. What you got to do, you got to build and whatever. I don't remember one after like not many times this season we picked up wind after winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got to really go out and try and beat Chesterfield, Colchester. And we have to get 3 points in that game, really.
So, Nick, prediction.
No, we're not predicting.
We're going to jinx it. Go on. God.
Is it mine?
Yeah, go for it.
For Colchester?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 1-1.
1-1. Aiden?
I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2?
Yeah.
Carl, dare I ask?
2-1 win.
Hey, same as me. I'm saying 2-1 win as well.
I think Jennings will get a goal. If I'm honest.
Told you, get a hat trick.
No, I don't think I think he'll do all right. I think the biggest thing is he needs to come in and hit the ground running. Really, I think if he comes in
straight into the team, then
I think he probably will. Yeah.
I think he has to be.
He's got to be. To be fair,
a full week, 2 weeks training with.
Yeah,
Saturday,
he's got a week and a half training with him, hasn't he? And I think this week off, I know it's a bit crap because it's because we got knocked out of the FA Cup, but this could be the thing. This could be the get Cliff Byrne another week in it, see if he's all right. Mm-hmm. He gives Ryan another week to
Mazika another week.
Yeah, exactly. It gives them people that, and I think O'Connor
could be really helpful, couldn't it? Yeah, after a busy festive period as well. That's the sort of thing you want, isn't it?
Yeah, you need that, and that could do us a world of good.
That's probably why Jennings has come in so early. Actually, I think that's clever by Neil bringing him in. Give him a week. Yeah, I like that.
That time with it, rather than waiting until next Thursday and then he's got Friday morning to train with him and then Saturday he's playing.
Yeah,
it's a good move.
I mean, they
really
got the deal done quite quickly, didn't they?
They've
been following him for a while, haven't they?
Yeah.
And a few people were saying that Neil and Brass were at the. I don't know when they played. Was it Sunday? I think they played. And they were there then to watch him. I saw somebody say on Twitter. So
yes, yeah, no, I read.
I think he's seen them play quite a few times. Hasn't
he? That's the thing. That's the thing. They've obviously got these people, and I'm sure they've got a list of people, and he's probably the top of the list, and they'll be happy that they've got him.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of like last year, it was we've got these players in mind, and then it was like last minute, and then Wolford went, and nobody come in to replace him, and then Nelson appeared at 11 o'clock on transfer deadline day.
Yeah.
So as we've already discussed, there's been quite a bit of coming and going today. Might as well start with the outgoings. Shane Duffy has been recalled by Everton, so his loan with the Iron is now over. He's been recalled back to Everton ahead of their FA Cup third round against Tamworth this weekend, it sounds like, because they've got some quite bad injury crisis going on there in the defence.
He's quite likely to start on Saturday, what I was reading. They've got quite a few injuries. And
Jagielka got injured last night, I think, didn't he?
So I imagine
they just got rid of another centre-back, haven't they?
Tamworth they're playing? Yes. Well, you could imagine him going straight into that game and then ending back at Scunnion after a week, if you're not.
I can see that as well, Carl. I think that's how Scunnion looking at it. Hopefully, he'll play the FA Cup game and then come back.
So maybe miss that Colchester game or something like that, just to give them time to.
Well, that's it. I mean, he said he thanked the club and the fans and said, I could be back in weeks.
Yeah.
And then I heard, I can't remember who said it, but I remember reading on Twitter that. Someone suggested that it might even be next week that he comes back.
Yeah.
So, like, literally goes back, plays this cup game against Tamworth, and then, or is available for the cup game where he plays it or not, and then comes back on a new loan deal with us.
I think stopping him doing that. I know you can only have so many loan players at a time and so many people. I'm sure I've read something about.
I know, yeah, you can only have so many at a time, but I don't know whether there'd be anything to stop
you. It's a youth loan as well. I think it's a bit.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's a youth loan. It's more or less like normally you can only have somebody, if you want them loan for a month, I think you can only do it for 3 individual months, can't you?
Yeah.
But with that with the youth one, I think it works that as long as both clubs are happy, I think it just it's like a roll, like having
a monthly rolling contract thing, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. If they're happy that he's playing and we're happy to play him, I think it just sort of keeps carrying on, because there's been a few times when it's been, oh, he signed for another month, and it's just sort of got.
Johnson's been doing the same thing, hasn't he? Do you know of anyone who pay him less money for that or anything like? Because I'm guessing with a youth loan, like on football manager. You don't pay him at all, I don't think. I don't know how it works.
I'm not sure how that works. I would have thought we'll probably have to pay something.
I would think we're probably contributing, but whether we're paying.
Even if it's just for like him like stay, he's probably living in a hotel or something. Do you know what I mean? Maybe if they have to just like pay his costs and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would imagine. I can't imagine that they're paying a fortune for him. Same with Norwood and Johnson.
Mazika, I think most of them live together. I think that's what they're doing this year.
A lot of them are sort of sticking together, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which can't blame them, to be fair. It can't be easy for a young lad to come to somewhere like Scunny and be on your own.
Especially no Nando's.
Yeah.
If you used
to Manchester all
fish
the
out of water.
So the one point that I did see that was tweeted to me by Jamie Morgan, which was, given how well he's played, could we struggle to get him back from Everton? There's the likelihood that Championship teams might be circling him.
I think that's always been the case, though. I said it a few weeks ago when we didn't play him in the FA Cup, which was because of this. He didn't play against Wimbledon, and you were like, well, why is he doing it? But he kind of worked out at the time, they always had ambitions to get him back and play him at another team. But now if he goes to Everton, plays that FA Cup game, and he impresses again, he can go anywhere, can't he? He doesn't have to go back to Scunthorpe.
That's the risk, isn't it? It's all well and good saying, obviously, he said that he's happy.
Yeah,
the club likes that he's playing every week. And,
but I'm sure his agent and the club will rather see him in the Championship, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but would they rather see him on the bench at a Championship club?
Yeah, he could easily go somewhere in the Championship and just be sat on his arse.
At least
he's playing here, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's what he sees as well. I think all he sees is like, at least I'm getting a game at Scunny and I'm impressing, so it's not too bad.
No, that's it.
From talking to him and that as well.
This morning on the official website, there was an interview with him, ironically not long before they recalled him, sort of saying about how he was more than happy to stay at the club and was enjoying playing for us, and that he was happy, he liked the fact that he was starting regularly and getting regular football, and he'd want to then go and spend the second half of the season at a club where he wouldn't be playing.
No.
So, and that was quite a good thing to read, but then obviously he then gets recalled, and like you say, I think it would depend on who sweeps in for him. If a Championship team comes in and it looks like the kind of club where maybe they're a bit light, and he might get a game regular or fairly regular.
Yeah.
Then that.
Yeah, it would have to be. I think it would have to be one of the lower end Championship.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But it was an interesting point. So thank you, Jamie, for that. So the other outgoing today, which was, I don't think anyone really saw coming, was Dagnall sold to Barnsley. That annoying phrase, which really annoys me.
I was going to say undisclosed fee. Yeah.
Favourite two words.
Yeah.
Two and a half that contract.
That happens more and more and more now, doesn't it? Even when it's like
more
25
often than
million.
Not really.
When it's 25 million and it's like, it's undisclosed. Sometimes I think is it the spare one club's budget?
It normally leaks out what it actually is. So
It's usually when it's sort of like when they do their accounts or whatever at the end of the year, then they know so much has gone on this.
So, I mean, was anyone surprised? Well, firstly, was anyone surprised to see Dagnall go?
I wasn't that surprised to see him go. Not after the rumours with Bradford being linked with him. You thought then, right, obviously Scunny are trying to offload him. They're thinking he's an asset we can get rid of. But I was a bit gutted to see him go. Like we were saying, I think... He's a model pro. I don't think he ever did anything wrong. He tried hard and I was right. The Championship though, seriously.
That's the biggest problem. It's not that he's gone, it's where he's gone.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing about it, though, is he's probably one of the highest earners here, so they're probably happy to get rid of him, but
on that respect.
Somebody's coming for him, and they're probably paying him, I don't know how much, but that'll pay probably this Jennings and maybe another player.
That's it, they've been saying for a while, haven't they, that if they wanted to bring anyone else in, they would have to free some budget up, and like you say, Dagnall would have been one of the big earners, as will be, Nelson. Which seems... all but done.
Set in stone, it seems to be.
I mean, he's gone. It's just a question of when and where, doesn't it?
Well, you say that, but then we're obviously losing Duffy. They might think, let's hang on to Lease a bit longer in Jan and then see what happens, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure about that, though, because he's not even been in the squad, has he, for the last three weeks or so. Palmer's been on the bench in front of money, and if Reid comes back, Reid fills that gap that...
you've got Byrne as well, haven't you?
And Byrne possibly to play centre-back.
You've still got Palmer
on the bench who isn't that bad a centre-back, so...
No, I don't think they'd hang on to him just because Duffy's gone, I think.
No.
Yeah.
I think, to be fair, Nelson, coming from Norwich, I think he would be probably the top earner at the club, and if they could get rid of him, even if it's a case of somebody just releasing him and somebody takes him away,
this is what was interesting to me was that there was an article on Sky Sports website saying that it was an interview with his agent saying or two SPL clubs and several English clubs have shown interest in him. The bit that I wanted to question with you guys was that it suggested that it would be a free transfer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that because we'd be releasing him, or is he on a free?
No, what?
He's probably on a free, isn't he? I would have thought.
Yeah, we're just getting rid of him, aren't we? We need to get him off the wages,
isn't it?
Yeah, he's not playing.
So letting him go for free, not that he's available for free and anyone can just slap him.
Did we get a free transfer in the first place, or did we pay him money for tonight?
No, they paid for him.
They paid for him.
On last minute.
It was literally 11:15 on deadline day.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great signing.
Panic signing.
Well, when you look at it, it's like Rob Jones, isn't it? Like, he came for $300,000 allegedly.
Yeah.
And he left for nothing a year, was it, year and a half, 2 years
And
later.
He's doing well at Chef Wednesday.
Yeah, and he's doing all right there, isn't he?
They're going up, so...
They're looking pretty good.
But then Rob Jones was good in the SPL, so Nelson could go there and...
And shine.
Finish his career in high,
be like a completely different player, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, as I say, the agent says one or two SPL clubs and several English clubs, so it'd be interesting to see what comes of it. But it certainly sounds like he's gone, doesn't it?
I think he's off to Chesterfield, but that's just what
I heard. It all depends on where he's prepared to go, doesn't it, I suppose?
Yes.
Yeah. If it's sort of Chesterfield and, like, there's been rumours of other teams in, like, League 2 and that, so is he prepared to drop down that far? I think
he'll want to play football. I think he's gone to Scunny recently. He'll be on a decent wage wherever he goes, and he'll just want to play football now.
Yeah.
He's got to prove himself again.
I think it'll be a balance of someone that'll play him and someone that'll pay him a reasonable wage.
Right place, yeah.
Yeah. But it certainly sounds like he's got offers, so I'd be amazed if he's still here.
I think that's when, not if, that one.
Yes,
it?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So. What about Norwood? Do you think Norwood will go? I've read a lot. Yeah, obviously we said that. Yeah, I think he'll go, won't he? Are we going to
be surprised if he's still here?
He's left, hasn't he, today? I think he's gone. I think his loan's expired.
His loan's expired, hasn't it?
I thought it expired on the 8th.
I thought it was the 3rd.
It was after the game on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's available for anyone now. I think... honestly, I think he's been quite inconsistent anyway. I don't think he's been all he's been cracked up to be.
He looks an all right player, but he's not any better than anybody else I've seen this season. Do you know what I mean?
No.
The
game at MK Dons, he was brilliant. He dictated play. He ran the show there. But then, since then, a few other games, good bit of passing.
He's been decent when I've seen him. But at the same time, he's decent in a position where we've got lots of, as we've already mentioned, we've got lots of quality players in that position.
I expect him to go to a decent side. Well, a side in Championship. He would look good in a good team. I think that's what it is. We're a crap team, and he struggled because he hasn't had the...
I think he's a good player, definitely. It certainly sounds, again, it sounds like there's interest from...
He's another one, though, he's still a young lad, isn't he? It's like when Lansbury came here. They're like 18, 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. They need to be playing football somewhere because playing for a poor League One team is better than playing, I would imagine, Premier League reserves.
Oh, yeah, so definitely. It's competitive football, isn't it?
It's better for them to be playing that, isn't it? So,
got to be, yeah.
I suppose it's whether, because he came out and said he wanted to go to the Championship a few weeks ago, but then is he going to get, like we said with Duffy, is he going to get a game every week?
That's the decision he's got to make, isn't it?
It's a gamble, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Does he want to go and try and get into a Championship team, or does he?
Yeah.
Or is he happier? Or would he prefer to stay at the Iron, where he knows he's going to be in with a decent shout, at least, of getting regular?
Is he in the first team at the moment? Norwood, would he start? I don't think he started. Did he start Hartlepool?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he did, didn't he?
Okay. But he doesn't start every week, does he? To be fair, I don't think he's played.
No, and as
they were suspended, pretty
with Ryan and
yeah, he was suspended.
Coming back and
yeah, and even somebody like Collins, if Collins all of a sudden miraculously,
it's
not
who's Collins? Collins. I don't know
Collins. Scored a wonder goal against Everton.
Oh, my God,
that him. Guy!
All right, yeah, where's he?
I've not seen him in a while, have we? I think he's
got a really long-term injury.
He's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
Injured,
so,
quite a serious one.
So, on that subject, are we expecting him to be around? Because, again, isn't he earning quite a bit?
I imagine he's on the
decision. So.
But I bet he go. He's got to go. Neil must hate him. Even, I'm sure he played, he hasn't got John. Did he play in the Johnson Paint Trophy? I don't think he did.
He played a couple of times early in the season, but it was because... Was it O'Connor or somebody was injured?
There was quite a few injuries, wasn't there?
Yeah, and he played a few
games. Like in Brentford or something like that. And I saw him and I was like, who is that guy? And I was trying to work out for ages, and I was like, oh, yeah.
We've barely seen him this season, have we?
He had a beard, so he didn't look like him at all. I was like, he's obviously just sat on the sidelines. I don't know what he's doing. He might have started gardening or something.
So yeah, I do wonder if, I mean, I don't know how much he's on, but it definitely seems like he's another one where if we get an offer, it's a very easy.
But who would want him?
But then who?
League two. He's good enough for League two. We know that. He's a League two player.
He's in a situation though. If he's injured, where like he could be injured for another 6 weeks or something, and then stuck with us till the end of the season, then, isn't he?
Unless we'll be able to get rid of him now.
Lease is out of contract.
Yeah,
it seems like it's either January or summer, isn't it?
I would like to see him have at least one or two games in the League One to see what he could do, but I'm guessing he's not going to get that. So, yeah.
Well, Huddersfield were pretty happy to let him go, weren't they? So.
Yeah. Why the hell did we sign him?
There's another panic signing in the summer. It was Atkins in
the
summer.
It was Atkins. Yeah. I liked him. I don't know why. Maybe Southampton would sign him. Come on, Naki.
Yeah, come on. Go on, Nige.
Jonathan Fort-esque transfer.
They're having
a bit of a wobble, aren't they?
Billy Sharp will go to Southampton and save their season, hopefully.
So, there's quite a few that we've just spoke about either gone out or sound like they're pretty likely to go out. So far, the only in has been Connor Jennings, as we've already mentioned earlier. Signed this afternoon. 20-year-old striker, 19 goals already, but, and again, undisclosed fee. My concern here is he's coming up from the Blue Square Bet North. That's quite a big jump to make.
It is a big jump. I think we're taking a risk, aren't we? We're putting
all our goals
in eggs in one basket, really, because if he isn't good enough to score goals or isn't ready to play at this level, we're going to go down. To be fair, I don't think
they would have signed him though if they didn't think he was ready. They haven't signed him.
But they
obviously rate him, don't they?
But then we signed Bobby Grant thinking he was good enough. He obviously wasn't good enough at Championship, and I think
that's not Neil signing him, is it?
No, but it's still the same point. I think with young players, you never really tell until you put them there. They look good.
Yeah. It's all well and good saying he scored 19 goals already this season, but those 19 goals in the Blue Square.
Yeah, he had probably 50 chances per game. You know what I mean? You don't know, do you?
No.
It's exaggerated, but...
I guess it's one of these times will tell. I mean, it's hard to comment, really, again, because of that undisclosed fee. It's hard to comment exactly about how big a risk it is. If we've got him, then it's not much of a risk, is it? But if we've spent quite a bit of money on him...
Six-figure, it's rumoured to be from their end, I think, isn't it?
They'd say that, though. I think it'd be under...
They're not going to say it was 50 grand and then...
Yeah, I guess not.
...and loads of add-ons, are they? Because that's the thing with undisclosed. It makes one club set of fans can think, oh, yeah, we've got £250,000 for him, and the other club's thinking, oh, we've only spent £20,000 on him, man. Do you know what I mean?
That's what frustrates me is now we have no way to know whether we're getting value for money on him.
I think if he scores 30 goals, you know, you've got value for money. If he scores 4...
Well, it depends what we've spent, it does.
That's true. But I think with him, it's a risk we're taking, but it's probably worth taking it. You know what I mean? If other clubs are interested, he's obviously a really talented player. And at least we've snapped him up. We've got someone to sell now.
The thing is, we've already mentioned about, generally speaking, Nil's signings have been very good. And off the back of that, I kind of trust him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
It is a big step up. But the fact that Nil's been and has been watching him for a while and has been and gone and...
It reminds me of the situation where we could have signed Lee Novak. You know, the lad who went to Huddersfield from Gateshead.
Yeah.
So loads of goals for Gateshead. Was an excellent player. And we missed out on the opportunity because we didn't pay the money they wanted and he went to Huddersfield instead. I think this time we paid the money they wanted and snapped them up straight away. Because Novak's done okay.
There were a few like that though, weren't there? Was it Donnelly or somebody that was in the same boat, wasn't it? And he went somewhere and not really done anything since.
But no, Novak's done okay at Huddersfield though. He would have been, he would have been a decent signing for us.
Yeah.
But I do think that we've shown a bit more initiative this time and taken it. We've gone for it and gone, this time we're not going to let him slip, sort of thing. So that's got to be a good sign.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So the question is then, we're still only on January the 5th. It's quite, you know, we've got a bit of time left. Are we expecting more ins and outs? I mean, obviously, it sounds like we're expecting more out, but more
in. If Duffy and Nelson go, you know, I mean, Duffy don't come back, we're going to have to get a centre-back in, I think. I know you're saying we've got quite a lot of cover, but I still think... I've always thought we've shot a left-back. I don't think Nolan's a right-back. Same at... If we could play Nolan right back and get an experienced left back in, I think we'd look a lot better in defence, I think, and play Burn at centre back.
I was going to say that freeze Burn up to play in the middle.
I think his pace isn't
going to get exposed quite as badly.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I think I'm sure he's been looking at a left back for a long time. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see one come in.
Mm.
They've said that a few times, though. Brass has said that in the last two post matches, hasn't he? They know they need a left back, so I'm sure they've got somebody.
A proper left back in the squad, isn't
he? It's been weird though, because Nolan, you always think of him, oh, he's a left back.
He's a left back, isn't he? Yeah, that's what I've always thought.
Yeah, but he's not, though, is he? He's a foot, he always has to cut inside, but.
Yeah, he's right footed.
He's done a very good job of it, though. I don't think I've seen him play at left back and not done a good job.
No, he's been one of our better players this season.
Solid, isn't he? Yeah. He's a solid player.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot better than last year.
So, left back, we've signed a striker. Anything else?
Well, if O'Connor goes, you've got to replace him. So you'd need a midfielder. I can see you signing another striker, maybe.
I think maybe another striker and possibly...
Another striker wouldn't surprise me.
Possibly a winger of some description as well.
Oh, God, not lightweight one, will it be? Another lightweight winger. That would be definitely... That's happening. We're going to sign a League 2 player.
Well, if we get a quality winger... We can start playing Ryan in the middle.
That's what I mean. And then you would fill the gap if O'Connor went and Ryan was in the middle, you would fill that gap straight up because Ryan's sort of playing that side, isn't he?
Ryan's best position in the middle, isn't it? It's obvious.
Yeah, definitely. Where he can dictate play.
I'd like to see Duffy leave. I know it's a bit harsh. Mark Duffy. Don't hate him at all.
He's another player, though. I think he's a confidence player, isn't he? When he came in, he looked like...
A decent player.
Like, wow, and he had the confidence to run at people, and he looked at the player, and then
I know, fell apart. His first touch, come on.
It is awful.
Surely, you can improve it. You're a footballer. All you have to do is work on it. Yeah. Work on your first touch. He's obviously lazy. Come on, man. It can't be that hard to prove your first touch, get the ball, pass it. You know what I mean? You can do these sort of things, and that's just... His attitude sort of thing. I'm not sure.
He ain't got an amazing cross either, though, has he?
No, I don't think he's got that much for a winger, to be honest. I don't think he's any better than
Lee. I think it's more of a case of he's small, so he was put on the... You know what I mean? He was put on the wing and... There you go.
He's not especially pacey either, is he?
No.
So, I mean, he's an okay player, but I'm sure we could get better.
In his locker.
I don't think it would be.
But it's whether we'd get any offers in for him.
No, that's true. I know I realise that, but if we do, I'd sell. There we go.
Yeah, I think if we get an offer, snap the hand off, but I can't see it happening.
No.
His old team might want him back. They seem to rate him. Their fans seem to rate him at Morecambe.
Maybe so.
Possibly.
That's League 2, though.
Yeah.
It's whether he'd then take that drop down.
Yeah, he's the same as a few of them. They've made that big step up now. Would they be prepared to make that step down again to come back at it again?
Not for the money they're getting League 2. They'd be on a lot less.
Double,
probably in League One.
Okay, we've had a couple of good questions from Jim Coulson, who is becoming a regular contributor.
No, not again!
He's getting a lie,
isn't he? He's becoming a regular. I'm liking it. So thank you very much to Jim, who sent in a couple of questions for us. It was a bit strange when I read them, actually, because usually his questions are quite comical, but these are actually two quite serious questions.
Do we need to make them comical answers, then?
If you like, you can try.
Sure, we can try.
So, question one. Shane Duffy's gone back to Everton, oh bum. That's his words. If you could bring back any Iron centre-half in their prime to plug the gap, who would it be?
Andy Crosby.
Crosby.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I know, but it's true, isn't it? Any time, any day, he's a legend.
Yeah.
Or Chris Hope. Crosby or Chris Hope.
Can I make another one? A different suggestion. Mark Jackson.
Oh, Mark Jackson. That goal against Hull.
That goal at Hull, that is everything for me.
Yeah.
He is a good player. I think Crosby's a better shout, though.
Yeah,
I think
I'd say Crosby.
He gave him leadership. It was a quality.
You don't have to bully me out of it.
It's an opinion.
And Crosby's opinion.
Different. You're wrong, but you've allowed your opinion.
Crosby came for Scunthorpe was at Wembley as we beat Millwall, wasn't it? So,
hey, but if we hadn't let Ian Morris go, we'd have a left back as well. So,
very true.
Can we say?
He's not very good, though, is he? That's...
If we hadn't let Hooper go, we'd still have a good striker.
Well, yeah.
That's very true as well. Wolford, we could have had a good winger.
Yeah. Nah.
Well, on his day.
I like Chris Hope as well. I thought Chris Hope was a...
Yeah, Chris Hope was a very good
player. And he went on to have a decent career elsewhere, didn't he, when he left? And shame to see him go, actually.
Yeah.
Oh.
What about Butler?
I wouldn't have him
he's
back.
All right.
I wouldn't have him back though. I think no. Kind of
in his prime.
Butler in his prime scoring.
So, which was the question is if you can bring back any.
Yeah, I think he was good in his prime.
Weren't we in League One, in League Two then though when he was in his prime?
Yeah.
So I think that's a difference again. Mm. He was good when he left the season.
Same as Jamie McComb, I would bring him back in his prime as well because I always thought he was a good attacking option as well.
He's having a bit of an odd time at the moment. I'm sure he went back to Huddersfield. He's on loan somewhere. I don't understand what's going on. Because he is a good...
He's just ended up at Huddersfield and he's sort of...
They've got good players in front of him.
Yeah, because there's a good players in front of him, isn't there?
I think he is a good player.
So question two. Recently, we appear to have come out for the second half, a shadow of the team that went in. All over Bury in the first half, for example, but not at the races in the second. What is Nil saying to them? Help Alan out. What is the best piece of motivational advice you've ever been given? Oh.
Wow, you've stumped us all there.
So I guess the easy question to answer would be, what is Nil saying to them at half-time? Or maybe not saying to them at half-time? Why are we coming out after second half? Having played very well in the first half, why are we coming out in the second half and just heads are going down? Or we're not starting.
$1 million question, that one. No one knows.
I think part of it is maybe too overconfident. You maybe go in 1-0 up and think, it's easy this. We're doing all right, it'll just carry on. Do you know what I mean? And then you come out and you just...
I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have thought it's underconfidence more than anything. I think they come out automatically thinking, we're not going to hang on to this.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think you take a lead, you go, we've got a lead after 3 minutes. Let's build on that. Oh, let's not. Let's just... shit, we can't conceive. I think they get a bollocking from Nil every time because I think they must be really under pressure. Yeah, I think so.
You think after that first half against Bury?
No, but not from that. But like when I think they.
What do you mean
when
they're scared of getting a telling off? When
yeah, they are scared of making mistakes and stuff. But nervous players most of the time. I don't know why.
I think one thing I've noticed though in the last few games, there's been a lot more of. The two centre halves have been getting the ball and sort of coming to the halfway line. That should be a midfielder's doing that, and then that's why they've made so many mistakes. You give a ball away in midfield as a centre half, a fast striker takes it off you, and you can't get up with him. Yeah. You give a penalty away, you get sent off or something like that. Yeah. If you try and get...
Premier teams playing when the centre backs get the ball.
Yeah, they do that.
Playing easy pass, or it's up the field.
Yeah, he's hoofed. Yeah. But there's been there was a few times in that Chesterfield game where Canavan took it off the keeper, went forward about 15, 20 yards, and then just hoofed it
from
the halfway line.
Absolutely pointless, that.
Yeah, That's it.
But to me,
falling on a striker, or you can't.
It should be O'Connor or somebody saying to them, "No, what are you doing? That's my job."
Mm.
Dropping back, picking the ball.
Centre halves. They should be standing on the edge of the box, expecting the ball to come back at them. Maybe if the keeper's played a long kick, the ball comes back to him most of the time, doesn't it?
So do we think that's the problem then? Do we think that Alan Neil is, I guess, what's the word? A tough taskmaster, and they're so scared of making mistakes and sort of incurring his wrath kind of thing?
I think that's one of the reasons. I'm not saying it's the full reason why they're a load of crap at second half, but it's odd. It's very odd. It shouldn't happen. Why is it happening? There's something obvious.
A part of it is because they've got it in their heads, haven't they? Last season was a struggle.
Yeah.
The players that are there from before that, it's like in their heads. Well, we've not had the mentality at the club for a while, have we?
We've got quite a lot of new players, though, and that mentality is true with them.
But then from last season, there's a few of them there. It's like Dagnall, I know he's gone now, but Dagnall and there's O'Connor and them sort of people, and they probably think they're better than they are at the minute, if you know what I mean. When they're on form, they're good players, but when you're losing in front of your own fans, and not used to losing, but it was happening a lot in the Championship, weren't it? And that sort of takes a lot to get back. A lot of the good performances have been away from home this season.
Well, that's another good point, actually. The fact that we haven't been playing particularly well or getting results particularly well. Also, I think there's also a nervousness about the home support.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, like you say, we're 1-0 up, we're automatically, there isn't that we're going to win this. There's a, if we really need the next goal, we're going to end up losing this. I think that can transfer onto the pitch a bit, can't it?
Well, the players certainly made the point, didn't they? Yeah. They're saying that the support at Hartlepool was basically so much better than it is at home.
Yeah, I found that really very interesting. They were making.
Yeah, I thought that.
A lot of the players made quite a lot of fuss about the fans and the noise at the Hartlepool away support.
One of them even said something like, "Oh, I hope you guys can be at home," and they probably are at home, but the whole support is just
spread
not
out.
The same.
They're spread out, and
exactly.
That's it. In general, away support tends to be noisier because it's a lot easier as a smaller group of people. You know, it's a lot more difficult to get a stadium full of people
cheering
and singing and doing what else. I mean, it's never really been, with the odd exception of a few games, you know, the Newcastle game in the league when we beat them. A few marquee games have been sort of really good atmospheres, but generally speaking,
the last 3 or 4 years have been pretty.
It's not a
quiet, haven't they?
Yeah, it's not a big dancing ground, is it?
No,
it's not that kind of. I mean, you've got to bear in mind that even packed to the rafter, there's only 4,500 people in there. It's not a big, you know.
It's not a massive amount of people there that want to sing either. A lot of it is older people or people with young kids and stuff, so they're not.
Yeah, it's a percentages thing, isn't it? If you've got a stadium with 30,000 people in, and 10% of that or whatever are singing their hearts out, that's a lot more than 10% of a 3,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously there's going to be a lot more noise, and when that bigger number start singing or chanting or generating a bit of atmosphere, the more timid ones or the ones that maybe, you know, some will join in, won't they? I mean,
not all the way through, though. I know what you mean. That you can stand on the terrace sometimes and you'll see people with the iron chants and stuff like that, they'll join in, but then if anything,
very quickly dies off again.
Very quickly dies off, yeah. There'll be a few people at the back of the stand, and that's probably the people that are these away fans all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the younger sort of
early
20s, like there's a good group of like early 20s lads now, isn't there?
They go everywhere.
At every game, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good to see that people are coming into it, because I know from me coming to my late 20s now, the people that I used to go with sort of when I was 18, 19, 20, most of them don't go now.
Right.
Through moving away, can't afford it, not worth, do you know what I mean? They don't think it's worth it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's good to see that there's that young group sort of coming through again that have probably been going since they were sort of 13, 14, and now they're coming to the age where they can go to a wait, do you know what I mean?
They can afford to follow them around a bit more.
Put the money into it and stuff and not sort of thinking, oh, my dad doesn't want to go this weekend, so I can't, do you know what I mean? I can't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's good to see, and there's a lot of them, sort of, it's them that's singing all the time, and even at home, it's them that are singing all the time, so
yeah,
it's good to see,
it's
really.
It's getting that going more, isn't it? It's
getting
that to carry around the ground a bit more.
I think part of it is, though, even the few years ago when the guy had the drum in the back of it, as annoying as a man banging a drum for 90.
Yeah,
that
that's it.
That could be going, didn't it?
That's it. It gets things going. As I mean, you know, you've got some clubs or nations, like obviously the England team have that band with the trump, you know, the drums and the trumpets and all the rest of it. And I think quite a few of those are from Sheffield Wednesday, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got Pompey have that annoying arse with the bell. Which I have to say, if there was someone ringing a bell constantly behind me, I would be very, very tempted to turn.
Where would you be sticking that bell?
I can't watch them play on TV because that bell pisses me off.
Yeah.
If I was in the ground and he was near me, it would piss me off. I can't describe how much that would annoy me. It's just a droning ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. It's really irritating.
So we don't want anybody ringing a bell then?
So no bells, no to bells. But I mean, drums and things like that. It's like you say, it gets those actually have a rhythm and a tune, or you can have a tune to them or a rhythm to them, and it can get fans going, can't it?
We need a man with a trumpet then, do we? Or something like
Clearly, that's what we need.
An old man with a trombone at the back of the stand.
Oh, I hate bands.
Whenever there's a defensive mistake, you can have the old.
Oh dear!
Band and it's just rubbish, incessant.
No, but it gets people going. Like
it does get people going. You watch an England game, and as annoying as that England band is,
it does get them going. Yeah.
Yeah. Often it gets the national anthem singing, or it gets something else. That thing's going.
That one.
Yeah. But how often does that then? Rip across and the England fans then start singing to it.
Yeah, they do.
It works. As annoying as it is, it works.
It works, but it's crap.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's not. And
I'm not taking my trumpet to Colchester then.
No.
But did you see what got them going at Hartlepool, what the away fans did?
Poznan?
Poznan.
Oh, I hate that as well.
And then a conga going afterwards, apparently.
Yeah, there was a conga going around.
Sounds like it was the right party.
Newcastle fans did conga, didn't they, this year at our ground?
I think they needed that, though. Yeah. From what I've heard, it weren't very warm. It's at the times I've been there before, it's like one of them grounds where you think,
I've been to
Hartlepool.
Yeah.
To answer, are we going to answer Jim's question about the motivational speech? I found it good.
Well, the motivational advice.
Nigel Atkins' favourite film to show in the Scunny Players when he was manager and before big games and stuff like that was Gladiator. And the quote was, "Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity." And I think that's a decent
quote. Did you know that, or have you just looked that up?
I have obviously just looked that up. Bit of Wikipedia, but I do remember Atkins saying about it when he.
Yeah, he used to play. What else did he play as well all the time? He used to play Rumble in the Jungle quite a lot.
Yeah.
The Muhammad Ali fight thing. He used to play that all the time. And what was the one? Because he always used to talk about it. Rocky. He used to play Rocky all the time as well. The first Rocky film. He used to sit him. I remember a few times he said that sort of before a game when he was just talking to us on pitch side. He'd say, like, oh, we were in the hotel last night and I made them all sit and watch Rocky together and stuff like that. Like, stuff like that. I know it sounds a bit stupid and probably...
It sounds a bit cheesy, but like you say, it gets you going.
It
works. Yeah, it? Even if you walked in the dressing room and they had the Rocky music on, that would get me going.
I think that's what Atkins is all about, though. His mentality is sports psychology and all this, how it works, people mind.
Still like that now, though.
Genius, isn't he, that guy?
Even as a fan, like the music that was played as the team come out or before the team comes out, like now when it's something sort of epic and I can't remember the name of it, but there's
Champions League music is brilliant. If you go to a Champions League game and like imagine being a player then, that would be outstanding.
Yeah, we're not going to play that ever, are we?
I can't remember the name of it, but there's a classical piece of music that we started playing this season that was part of the vote, wasn't it? I can't remember the name of it now. But that, I mean, that is really like dramatic and that genuinely.
No, it's Adagio for Strings or something.
Yeah.
No, it's
not that one.
The Apocalypse Now, isn't it?
Yes, that one. It's just generally, I mean, when the team are coming out and the crowd are getting going and that music's playing, I genuinely, my hair on my arms stands up. But when we play some crappy, poppy, Robbie Williams. Yeah, I mean, how's that going to get us going? Never mind the players going. You want something epic and come on! You know, you don't want some
I think it's just be Rocky every week.
Pop rubbish.
Just come out to the Rocky theme tune.
That'd be epic.
With a dressing gown on, with the names on the back and stuff like that, and they all sort of...
Amazing.
That's a good bit.
Through the crowd slapping
hands. Getting running up and down stairs, Cal. You get
them. We could get them running up and down the ground. They'd be doing it for 3 seconds.
Running up the terrace?
Yeah. They'd be there and back in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're going to do that.
Or they come out at the back of the terrace and have to run down the steps through the people.
Going up and down for like 5 minutes.
Like where you see you've got like eight like bodyguards in front, like pushing all the flags out of the way and stuff like that. You
just do what Fulham do and make them come out in the far corner and have to go all the way across the pitch.
For the pitch.
Yeah, so they're knackered by the time they get there.
I think we should say thank you to Jim for his brilliant question.
Yes, thank you again, Jim. Thank you. Keep them coming. Brilliant. And if anyone else has questions or a discussion topic or suggestions for how you'd like us to improve the podcast even, you can email them to us at castironpodcast@gmail.com. So I think that'll do us. The next episode will be in 2 weeks' time, which should be Friday the 20th of January. You can subscribe from the podcast website, which is castironpodcast.podomatic.com, or via iTunes. All of the details on how to find episodes and subscribe can all be found on the website at theironsupplement.co.uk. And also, well done to Jim for finally getting the in-joke of that name. He finally tweaked this afternoon.
Yeah, I saw that.
Made me chuckle, that one.
Yeah.
So, thank you to Nick, Aidan and Carl. And
thank you very much.
Pleasure as always.
Speak to you in 2 weeks. Up the iron.
Do that. Up the iron.
The iron. Iron.